Accession number 30398, Mr. Nathan Ritz, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about your time with the Royal Inniskillen Fusiliers at Ballykinlan, the barracks there, from January 51 onwards. Now, we're talking about the sort of different types of training you had. What about weapons training?
Yeah, we had rifle training, we had Bren gun training, we had rocket launcher training. What else did we? No, that was all for
it. Well, let's look at them. Start with the rifle, it's easier.
Well, it's was the Ole Enfield single shot rifle that held five bullets, 303 bullets. Okay. And we used to go on the range and we used to fire. And I was quite good at it. Bren gun and the Sten gun.
Come to them, yeah.
And the Sten gun we trained with.
But with the rifle, I mean, how did you find it when you first started?
Oh, the recoil got me on my shoulder. God, it used to whack back, but once you got used to it.
You left handed?
No, right.
Right,
this shoulder, well, I'm trying to. And it, but the Bren gun was a lovely weapon. Oh.
So with a rifle, I mean, did you pick up how to aim?
He taught you how to aim. He would show you that the sight on the rifle, line it up with the sight like that, and if you got it onto the ball. And I learned that if you took it too far, you missed. But if you brought it down, I used to hit the ball all the time like this. I was quite a good shot, actually. I couldn't believe the things that I did. I could not believe that I did. The army brought me out. It showed me I could do it, and I would do it. And that's how a team is formed, because you are all buddies together.
So what about the bayonet? Did you do much?
Yes, a bayonet was like a very thin. It wasn't like the old bayonets, but it's got a very thin, like a skewer it was. We used to have bayonet, charge at the thing, boom. You see it, I'm going to,
You actually still did all the shouting then?
Oh, yeah, the major shout your head off. Shout, come on, shout, yeah, you're fighting an enemy now, come on. Sure, and plus they were trying to make us into soldiers in a very short time. We weren't regulars, we were just National Service. Don't forget, we had no inclination of going into the army or anything. I mean, if there hadn't been... we would never have gone into forces.
So you just charged
the dummies. They used to be like, we're full of straw, and they'd be hanging there, and you'd in, out, on guard, and ran down the other side. But
now, what about the Bren gun?
The Bren gun. I like the Bren gun. You had to learn to fit it all together and take it apart, which was once I saw it, I remembered how to do it again, you know, and you'd put. It was semi. You could find it single shot, semi-automatic, or automatic. It was a brilliant gun, that Bren gun. It was a brilliant gun.
What was so brilliant about it? I mean,
it was so accurate. I mean, it wasn't actually a British invention. It was a Czechoslovakian invention, but we made it in Enfield as well as the Rhine. But it was such an accurate gun. I don't think. Well, I don't know what they fire today. I mean, it's gone, but at that time. Because it was used during the war, but they improved it after the war, and they kept improving it like they did with the Sten gun. But that was a terrible weapon. It couldn't fire the side of a bun.
So a lot of people have said that. What did you think of this to fire?
I eventually finished up in career with it because I was a wireless, and that's the only thing. Couldn't hit the side of a bus. It was just so bad. The sight was bad on it, the mechanism was bad, the whole thing was bad. It was just a poor weapon.
What about the range? Some people said
the range on the Sten gun was very poor, very poor.
So there's nothing you liked about it?
No, the Bren gun was the best, in my opinion.
Did you know about the dangers? Like, if you dropped a Sten, it could go off, even with a safety catch.
Oh, yeah, one of our blokes got killed with that. He killed a bloke with that.
But did you know about it before? Did they warn you?
They warned you. Oh, every time. Put the safety catch on. Keep, you know, everything had to be, you must make sure it is safe. Because one of our blokes was cleaning the gun, this wasn't here in Korea, and he shot a bloke and killed him.
That was in Korea?
Yeah, he was cleaning the gun, he had a bloody bullet in it, and he killed him.
Now, so that's the Sten gun. What else? Grenades?
Yes, we had the Mills grenade. We used to learn how to throw that.
Overarm, cricket.
Yeah, throw it like a cricket, you know, you're throwing a... used to go... Take the pin out, but must keep the thing on your hand on the safety. Yeah, safety again. You always put the pin back if you're not sure, you know.
Were you nervous at first with them?
Oh, it didn't bother me at all. Nothing bothered me. I had no nerves whatsoever. Didn't bother me at all. They used to fire live ammo. Didn't bother me one bit.
So what were you going to tell me about another weapon? What other weapons? Oh, rocket launcher.
Rocket launcher,
was that,
yeah.
Was that the Piat?
The Piat had gone.
What was it then?
It was called a rocket launcher. It was a British, not the American one, it was a British rocket launcher. Two of you fired it, one loaded it, then you'd fire it through the sight. It was quite good, actually.
What was it like to fire?
Oh, the stuff that used to fire. Oh, that's right, we also had, you could fire from your rifle, there was a system you could fire at a tank with it. And you put it on your rifle, and it fired a blank thing, and it hit it was like a bomb, like this side with fins, and it would hit the tank and bore a hole in the tank and blow the inside of the tank.
And that was, what did you fire that from?
From an ordinary rifle. And you'd set it up like a mortar.
A rifle grenade.
Oh, and also a 2-inch mortar we fought.
So this rifle grenade thing,
yeah.
How did that work then?
It's called a Nerga grenade.
It's the Nerga, yeah.
Nerga grenade.
Did you get to practice that?
Not a lot. We did use it, but we didn't use it a lot. We didn't go into it to an extent. It's called a Nerga. It was like had little fins on it like that, and a fitment on the top of the rifle, and you fired. You put your thing in it. It was like a bullet, but not like. And then you'd fire it. You aim at the tank, and then hoping you hit the tank. And the 2-inch mortar.
Tell us about the 2-inch mortar.
Well, it was a tiny little mortar, no bigger than about that, and
about
it had a plate.
8 inches,
yeah, it had a plate, and it fired very similar to the Nerga grenade bomb. Remember, two of you fired, you put it, and you sort of, there was a thing that you pulled back, and it went boom, and it's boom, you know, but it wasn't a very accurate. The best ones were the big mortars that we had, you know, I didn't go into that.
Any other weapons? Can't think of anything else.
Later on.
I mean in Ballykinner.
No, later on he took me out to fire a pistol, but that was something different.
So that's weapons training. So anything else? Did you go out on exercises?
Yeah.
Like a military exercise.
We did, yeah.
What was that?
Because in Ireland there were loads of very, you know, there was a lot of open space where nobody lived or anything because it was all owned by the army. And we used to go out on schemes and like that, and then we would, they used to say, right, me, they were sort of pushed it out then to be a lance corporal, but they didn't make me up then. Another bloke got it, but he left the army, was ill. And we had to creep up, pretend, and then take the lamp away without being found. And I always used to get hold of the lamp. We used to have a boat, we used to put the boat together to cross the river, and we'd get it together. It was like a pump, it was like flat pack, and then you open it up and put it out, and we used to get in and row across the river with it, and then we do all different things like that. I can't think of any. We were all learning to be a team, you know. We would attack a position, I would lead the attack, or somebody else would lead it, and then we would capture it, you know what I mean? This is what they wanted. And it was all this sort of thing, you know, teamwork. All the thing was teamwork.
Well, let's go on. How did you get on with the other lads?
Oh, one or two of them I had a bit of frankness, but then I sorted that out. After that, I didn't get any problems.
Now, what did you have problems about? What were they giving you jip about?
Religion. But they didn't realise I was half Jewish, half Christian, so they didn't know that. But some of them gave me, but I walloped him. But he didn't do it again.
They were being anti-Semitic.
Yeah. One corporal was really anti-Semitic, so I said, I'll tell you what, you take your stripes off, and I'll go into that ring. We both put gloves on, never got another word out of him after that.
Did he actually do it, or did he just take you on?
No, he was as polite as anything after that to me. But Sergeant Goldie was my sergeant, and he said to me, you get any trouble, he said, you come to me. And I said, look, Sergeant, I can sort it out myself. He went up, he called him on the room. He said, if I get anything out of you lot, he's doing the same job as all of us. So remember that. And I never got another penny out of him.
Now, you've not mentioned being half Jewish, half Jewish. I mean, did it matter to you much? Your family religious?
No.
Not culturally?
No.
So, did you get much of this before you went into the army?
A little bit, but very, very soon.
Because you've not mentioned it.
It was so trivial that I never bothered with it. I never got any trouble.
So it was in the army at the first.
A little bit. Even when I got to Hong Kong, he didn't actually say it, but I knew what he meant. I just hit him so hard and that. And when we went on parade, he said to me, "Who did that to you?" So he said, "We was having we pretended with." He said, "You hit him like that," and then he knew. He didn't say it. He just went and he walked away. He knew what it was, and he didn't say anything.
And the corporal gave you a bit about it. As
well. Oh yeah. Because when we first went there, he said, "What religion?" Because I wasn't, you know. I said, "I'm not." And then he started on me, you see.
How did he start?
He started picking on me, you know. He threw my boots across the room, and that really got up to my nose. I said, "Look here." I said, "You want to talk me out?" I said, "Take those stripes off your thing." I said, "There's a boxing ring in there, which we used." I said, "We'll put the gloves on and we'll go in there." He just didn't want to know.
Let's talk about that. That's the nasty side of it, isn't it? No way. What about how you built up this team, how you got on with the lads? Because I think that's more what you want to talk about.
We had these terrible injections, which we were, going abroad, which we didn't realise at the time.
I'll come to that. See what I mean? I'm trying to get how you...
No, we looked after each other. Made sure that, you know, we couldn't put our clubs on. We couldn't go to... We helped each other. And, we worked as a team.
Did you have any special pals amongst them?
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember the names? It's a long time ago, you know.
Yeah. A bloke called Murphy. We used to call him Spud Murphy. I met him, funny enough, a few years after I came out of the army. Another bloke. Jack Jenner is still my friend. Jack. Another one was John. We were at the Queen's thing. You see up there, we went to Windsor when it was a Golden Jubilee or what. And he recognised me. I hadn't seen him for nearly 50 years. And he told them what I did in the army when I went upwards. I said, "John, how do you..." He said, "I know, I remember you."
What was his surname, John?
John Beresford, his name was. He lives in Sandhurst, funny enough, near with...
You got on really well with
him. Oh, yeah.
No bullies, then?
No, there's a bloke in the picture here.
No, they can't see it. There's no point.
No. Six of us. I can't remember. We used to call him the barrack room lawyer. Everything he knew. And he knew nothing, if you know what I mean. But he... Oh, yes, I know that. Is that? Yeah. Oh, you do, so. If you want... And that's all he used to do. These two, this man here, was after in Korea, but we were like brothers. He was named... Funny name, his name Bob Death. But he wouldn't allow you to call him Death. He probably had to call him D.R. Didn't like Death, no.
Did you know him in Ballykinler?
No. Okay. No, I didn't know these.
What about the instructors at Ballykinler?
Yeah, Goldie was one of them. Sergeant Goldie, he was the one that took us back over when we were really bad. I can't remember the other instructors because...
So one was pretty bad and one was good.
He was hopeless, the bloke at first.
What
he
was
did.
Hopeless about
he hadn't got a clue how to get men motivated. You have to get men motivated to do something, and he didn't. "Oh, well, don't bother, lads, you know, and all that." Well, that wasn't the way you do it. He made us do it. He said, "Right, this is what you do. You're letting me down. I want this." And within 1 week, he had us like that. And it just needed somebody to give us a bit of mum. And we were, I mean, when we did our rifle, because you do rifle things when on parade when you pass out, you know how they do on that, and it's a one click. That's what it was. One click. It was like we all had the same brain, you know, we used it, you know.
He was really good.
Oh, he was brilliant.
What about the other instructors? Or was it just the one?
I mean, no, we had two. We had a corporal as well.
Was he the one you had trouble with?
No, they got rid of all the ones that were there and they got brought in the new one. I can't remember. He was a soldier that was in the war and he came back and re-enlisted again, you know, after the war. He was quite good. He also had a big moustache. I think all he must have finished up as a sergeant. I think most of them did, you know, finish up. We had a rotten sergeant major at Ballykinler.
Oh. What was rotten about him?
Oh, he was a sod. He was nuts. He was definitely off his rocker. Have you ever heard of a man marking his own dog and putting him in bloody clink because he walked across his parade ground? His own dog. And he used to have a stick, you know, pacing stick. And he was Sergeant Major Mahaffey, MBE. And if you forgot the MBE, he'd march you straight into the ring. So one day he's got this stick and I'm walking along and he's gone right across my neck. He's gone, "What's my name, lad?" "That's all right, son, on your way." And away he'd go. He put himself, because he went into, because you have to go into the guard room and make sure you're well dressed to go out. Well, he used to have his gate, he used to press his gaiters so they matched his crease and his trousers. And one day he walked in there and one was out. He marched himself straight in the clink. And the sergeant said, "I can't put you. Put me in there if you want to. I'm Scruffy Umberaden." This is a nut house, he was.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you is how you would prepare your uniform, your kit and your room for inspection. You know, because I think, I mean, starting perhaps with your uniform, how would you get your uniform?
Well, first of all, you had two uniforms. The best uniform was the one that you used for parade and everything. And you made sure you had creases where you cut, you can cut your fingers on them. Because that, I taught them how to do it.
They now didn't. How do you do it?
Well, what you do is you turn the trousers inside out. You get a bar or so, and you rub it down the thing, right? And when you press it, it sticks like that, and of course you get a crease. My father taught me how to do that. And in the arm, and because we don't use that uniform, we use it, and down the back, which we did, and of course we had our hat, which we put on, it was called a call bead, and we had. And what we did, instead of one hackle, we used to buy two hackles, because when we were, the damn thing was as tall as that. We came and broke, all you could see these hackles going. And I didn't see it, a bloke called Doughty, he was the only man who became a sergeant as a national serviceman. He was the only one who made sergeant. And he was a cocky, he knew everything. I'm the best at this, and I'm the best at that, and
So how would you get your uniform ready then?
We got an iron, which had to be plugged into the light in those days, and we'd had several iron, we'd just got one, and we'd, you know, iron away and make sure it's all creased, and then we'd get a hanger and hang it up so it didn't get creased. All our kit was made sure that it was all in straight lines so that nothing was out of place. All the brass was cleaned so it shone. Your boots, I had the best boots.
We're always into, I don't know why we're interested, but we're interested in boots. How did you get your boots? Because when they come with pimples.
Yeah.
Now tell me how you got your boots up to scratch.
I'll tell you how I got mine. There was an old soldier that came in. He said, "I'll help you. I'll show you how to do your boots." So I said, "All right then."
Did he charge you?
No. So I think I gave him a few cigarettes or something, you know, or sweet, I don't remember. So he said, "Right, this is what you do. Get an old iron," which he did, and he put all the stuff on, you know, the boot polish, and he ironed the boot like if you're ironing, and all the creases in the boot came out. But while he was doing it, which I didn't realise, he was making the boot foundation that you could shine. So in actual fact, what he was doing to the stuff was hard, making it like grease, so it became, I can't explain. And then he said, "Right, now you do the normal spit and polish." And when I spit and polished them up, of course they came up like glass, you know. And when I went out on parade, they went. But a funny thing, when we went to Dover, because when we came out of Anakin and we went to Dover,
So you've got. And when you say spit and polish, you mean spit and polish?
I mean spit and polish, right? Or you do it with water, but best with spit and polish, because it. But with cherry blossom, was what I always found was the best.
You were a cherry blossom.
I was a cherry blossom.
What was the other one?
One was cherry blossom.
Kiwi?
Yeah, kiwi was one. Cherry blossom was. There was another one.
Why did you like cherry blossom?
I don't know, because I tried kiwi, I tried it, and cherry blossom seemed to do it for me. I don't know why, but it did. And it. Oh, my boots were. They were guard boots.
Now, with the army, there's different units. They have that bit, the toe, the heel.
But I did the whole lot.
Was it all done? What about underneath?
No, the studs. They had metal studs underneath. And on the heel, there was a plate. Because of marching, but I did the and even the eye holes where they put the laces in, I actually took all the black off and then I buffed them up with Duragrit and they shone. And even the laces I did as well. I done as well the laces because they were like leather laces. But when they came round to when we were passing out,
hang on then. So that's your boots. Now, what about your buttons? I mean,
Oh yeah, we used to get
Duraglit.
Yeah, Duraglit or Brasso, which I've still used, funny enough. And what you had was a plate which you put underneath the button.
Button stick.
Yeah, button stick, and then you could just push them up, you know, so they shone like, you know. We were brilliant. If we would pass out today like we did, you would not believe how we passed out.
What about, can you explain to them what blancoing was?
Oh, that was your webbing.
Because people don't know what blancoing
is. Well, blancoing was, it was in blocks like this, and you bought it.
About, what, like 3 inches?
Yeah, around like that.
Well, round.
It was round.
About 2 inches across.
So when you dabbed your brush or that in, you just soak your thing and then put this on and do it. And your brasses on your belt had to shine. So what we did, we knocked the brasses out so they were straight, not curved. So all little tricks that you learn, you know. And they were brilliant. Everything we did was... They just couldn't believe that
we... So how would you lay that? You had to lay it out on the bed in a certain way, didn't you?
Now, remember I said this old boy showed me how to do my boots? Well, he came over and he said, I'll show you how to do your kit. Because you couldn't go to sleep that night. You had to lay on the floor because you couldn't. So he said, right, well, you want to see how he taught you how to do this kit? You would. He had actual boxes where he pinned everything. And everything was like symmetrical. And you laid your best boots on your bed. And then when you went on parade, you changed them back again and put your working boots on. So you have to stand by your beds. It's the old stand by your bed. So we stand by, and he comes around with the Sergeant Major and the Colonel and all the entrants. They go, yes, right. And he comes to me and he looks at my kit and he says to the Sergeant, this kit is brilliant. And he couldn't say anything else because this bloke had done it all. And he said, I want a picture taken of this. And they took a picture of it, and it, I don't know if it's still hanging up in Ballykiller, but they took a picture of it. He said it was so good. I didn't actually. This guy had done it for me, you see.
Now, what about getting your room ready? I mean, because you've got your bed, but then there's also that.
You have to buff the floor.
The stove,
you clean
the floor.
No, we didn't have a stove in there. In Ballykiller, that was more modern. They didn't have stoves. It was like heating, like from the side. I don't know how it's done. I can't explain, but we had to do our own floor. We had to buff it up, make sure it was clean.
With bumpers or what?
We had all the fire things were clean. Everything had to be dead on. And we had one bloke, I always remember, his name was Rextra. He was a filthy sod. He was dunk. So one day we got hold of him. This is no word of today, we'd go in prison for it. We dragged him to the wash house, right? We stripped him down. He had nothing on. We got a broom that you scrape the floor with you know, one of those with bristles, and we scrubbed him from head to toe till he bled. He never did it again. He was as clean as anything else. Are you off, Jack? Me and Jack remember. Yeah, I remember that. He said, I remember dragging him there.
Now, so that's prepared. What would you do in the evening? I mean, you know.
Oh, well, mostly you're cleaning your gear. You went to the Naffy.
Now tell me about that. What did the Naffy offer for you?
Well, funny enough, the Naffy was good to us because we weren't on the Naffy wasn't rationed like we were outside. See, when we came, we had ration books, which we had to give up to the army. And we went into that. You could buy sweets off the ration there, which was unusual. And we were so hungry, we used to buy a dinner there. You'd buy that egg and chips and. And bacon and beans. We used to have it, a whole big plate. I mean, we could have eaten a nappy up, I think. And that's what we're doing. I think a dinner like that might cost, what, a shilling? Something with 5p in those days, you know. You could get beer in there. We used to have a drink in there, you know. You get anything in there.
Were there games and, you know, stuff like darts? And
oh, yes, I had a dartboard in the nappy, but that's about it. I didn't have anything else. I think there was a piano, but I know later on when I was in the corporal's mess, he had a piano, but that was years later.
What about sport? Was there any sport for you?
Yeah, we used to play football. We used to pick a team. There were some blokes that actually were, they used to play for a professional footballer, you know, football teams. One bloke played for Wolves, and he was a bloody good player. Well, not today's standard, I suppose, but in those days, he was a bloody good player, he was.
Did you play football?
Yeah, I did. I love football. That's the thing I loved the best was football. I love football.
And did you play for any, or was it just a game?
Played for the I played later on for the regiment, but then I played for our cup with for our blokes against another intake. You know, we
what
played.
What position did you play?
I think I was playing then fullback, left fullback I was then. But my dad actually was going to sign professional football for Spartak. He was that good, but his father stopped him. He said, "Oh, yeah, you don't want to play football." He said, "That's not. This is going back to the 20s. And funny enough, I met a man who remembered him there from Spurs. Now, that's something, isn't it?
Now, so that's, what about, would you get out into, I'm not sure what the local town is, but did you get out to the local town?
Yeah, it was a town, well, it was called Downpatrick. And we went out, I always remember, we went dancing one day. And we went into this dance hall, and all these people, they were spitting on us. They were turning their backs on us. I said, "What's going on here?" And my mate come running, he said, "Get out of there quickly, you're in the wrong dance hall." I said, "The wrong dance." You know where we were? We were in the Roman Catholic dance hall against the Protestant dance hall. So then we came out, went into the Protestant dance hall. Well, they treated us like them, because but the Roman Catholic hated us. They didn't like us. And it just shows you that's going way back. Before all this started in North, there was the RA, they used to raid our. They used to pinch our arms from our thing, and then run off, you know. And they.
What was you doing down, Patrick? Though.
Well, we go dancing.
Was dancing your main thing?
Well, there was nothing else. What else could in those days? That's all it was dance halls, wasn't it? I mean, nothing. I mean, there were no other. There were cinemas. I think we went to pictures once there, but mostly it was to meet girls. That's what we really went to meet into the dance hall for. That's all you went for. I met the Irish girls, and that most of them had boyfriends, so really and truly didn't get much to dance. And I couldn't dance in those days. I didn't know how to dance. So never
was
told.
What was the dance hall like then? I mean, it's oh. What you know? What's the sort of invite? You know.
Well, it was. I had a little band in there. And they used to try and play together, and it was like a hall. You know, like a school hall would be. Something similar to that, and all the girls would be sitting on one side and all the boys would be on the other side, and if you wanted to dance you went, if they didn't want to dance they just, "No, I don't want to dance," and then you didn't dance. But most of them, as I said, were with blokes in Ireland that they weren't really interested in us troops.
Did you drink much?
I drink quite a bit when obviously I used to drink Irish Guinness. I used to like Irish Guinness. It was better than the English Guinness, but different. I think once we went to Belfast because we had to catch a lorry to Belfast, and they took us to Belfast. And all I remember of Belfast was a cobble street. I couldn't remember anything else about it, on the cobble road. And we went into this Irish pub, and I remember drinking, but that's about all I remember of it. I don't remember much about anything else. And then, obviously, once we'd done our full training...
Tell me about the passing out.
Passing out was... was brilliant.
You and were very proud of that. Now, what was it like? What happened?
Well, they had a full band, because you know the Irish are all, they like the Scots, they've got pipers. They don't wear tartan like the Scots, but they wear like an orange thing. And they're fantastic. I mean, we didn't have buglers, we had pipers that used to wake us up. And we came out on this parade, there was all our intake, there must have been about 22 of us, and he'd march us all the way around the square first, right the way round. And then he'd stop in a certain spot and he'd go through all the drill that we'd learned, everything from A to B. And, you know, and we were like, one, everything, fixed money, everything. And it was, and all the time you say, "Bags of swank, lads, bags of swank." And because we used to march along, bags of swank, we were all young fellas. And we would go right the way around. Once we finished that, we'd go past the colonel and he'd take the salute. And all the dignitaries. We had dignitaries there as well. We had the local Lord Mayor there and everything all round. And he said, "I want to tell the," you know, gave a message, "Please pass the message on to your lads. It's the best I've ever seen come out of Ballykinder. And it's a," what did he say? "It's a pleasure or something to you," or something like that.
Credit
to you. You've got them to be like, and they're only national servicemen, I know, but they are brilliant. Cool.
Now, when was this? Would this be February or March? How long were you there?
No, it was 6 weeks. We did.
So it'd be February then, or March?
No,
into March.
No, we went in the end of January, so it'd be all of February, all of March, at the end of March, I would think. And then we went on to 10 weeks further training.